Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to all of you here to this first concert of the Jubilation Chorus. Thank you all for being here, and thank you to choir and director and accompanists for all the work that you've done in preparation to make this evening possible. I'd like to begin this evening by turning to the book of the Psalms and reading Psalm 100. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. In preparation for tonight, I was thinking about the name Jubilation. It's a fitting name for a choir. That's why I chose to read Psalm 100 with you, because this psalm is a psalm of jubilation, especially in verse 2, where, as we read together, it talks about gladness. Jubilation means great gladness. In verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. And it's a gladness that breaks forth into song. And you find that also there in verse 2, where it says, come before his presence with singing. This song, this gladness, this joy. And there's one specific time in Israel's history, especially, where we find this kind of gladness, and it's connected to the word jubilation, the year of Jubilee. In Leviticus 25, the Lord there says that the trumpet of the Jubilee should be sounded in the 49th year. And when the people heard that trumpet, that was a trumpet sound of jubilation. It meant liberty. It meant the restoration of land and property and even families. That was a time of great rejoicing on a human level, but what a picture. What a picture that year of Jubilee is of the gospel. The jubilation of the gospel, that the gospel which brings freedom and liberty and which restores all that which was lost in the fall, and that subsequently fills with true jubilation. And that's why we're gathered here tonight, to hear in song the jubilee of the gospel. And choir, tonight you may sing forth the good news of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Like a gospel trumpet, his death, his resurrection, set sinners free. He gives life and liberty. And as you sing, may you also sing with your heart. That jubilation, that makes real singing, doesn't it? And that we all, as we listen, and as we also sing, may do so with that jubilation of the gospel in our hearts. But then there's one more group tonight that I'm thinking about, and they're not here. They can't be here. They're far away in Nigeria. They won't hear the music tonight, but we've gathered also for them tonight. And we're thankful for the work of Word and Deed. And we pray that they also may be like a gospel trumpet as they do their work for the many needy in this world, and also there for that school in Nigeria, the purpose for tonight, so that their hearts too would be brought to this same gospel jubilation for what God has done for body and soul. That will make it a blessed evening to the glory of the triune God in Jesus Christ. Well, let's now pray together. And after that, there will be an audience singing, as you see in your program, Hallelujah, What a Savior, verses 1 and 2. Let's pray. Great and glorious Lord God in heaven, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We give thanks, O Lord, for this opportunity to gather together tonight for this evening of song and praise. We pray for strength and ability for all who participate. Help the choir and the director and the accompanists that as these words are sung, they would be sung with jubilation at such a glorious message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant, we pray also as we sing and listen that we may do so with our hearts to thy glory. We pray also for the work of Word and Deed and their ministry throughout this world. Lord, also for the school that is being built there in Nigeria, we ask, Lord, for thy blessing and benediction upon all this work and be with those people there, granting them all that they need for their bodies as well as for their souls. We pray, Lord, for a good evening together, and we ask this for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
It is so good to see everyone here this evening. And it is amazing to hear this kind of music and singing. Let's pray that the words may enter into your hearts and minds this evening. This is a benefit concert for Word and Deed, one of our projects in Nigeria. Let's go first and see what Word and Deed does. Some of you may not be familiar with Word and Deed. Word and Deed works in a number of countries around the world and acts as a bridge. We have church, schools, businesses, individuals in the majority world, and we work together with partners in the developing world. And our motto is Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We have a strategic emphasis at Word and Deed. We mentor and develop indigenous or local people to provide leadership in their various communities. We ensure that the gospel is central to each project. We develop partners with self-sufficiency under Christ as our goal. And then we have rigorous inspections. We are in contact regularly to ensure integrity and transparency in each project. Oh, you're missing a few slides there. Josh, if you could move forward one more, please. Sorry, and one more. So to review what Word and Deed does, we have partnership, relationship, and distinctives. We aim for what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man in 2 Corinthians 8:21. For every project, we have applications and written agreements. We have semi-annual reporting, financial accountability, and regular communications and visits. This is our team. These are all our employees. You have Scott DeCourt on the left, John Otten, who's one of our executive team, John Kotlinburg, who's involved in projects, Scott Koopman, who works in the office. Heidi Pronk is in America. She's in Grand Rapids. She's also part of our executive team. Behind her is Dave Vandermeer, who works in public relations in America. And then you have Kara Luting. She's in the office. And you may have, if you have a sponsor child, you may have encountered her. And then many of you know Rick Postma. He's also part of our executive team. We have ongoing projects in 15 countries. That doesn't include those countries where we do one-off projects or where we do relief work in the case of a disaster. Ecuador, we have 5 projects in that country. In Latin America, we have Colombia, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Ecuador, Guatemala, Haiti, and Nicaragua. In Africa, we have Malawi, Tanzania, South Africa, South Sudan, Nigeria, and Egypt. And in Asia, we have a number of projects in India, in Myanmar, which was also called Burma, Indonesia, and in the Philippines. Next slide, our board. So, on our Canadian board, we have 3 members from the Free Reformed Churches, 3 members from the Canadian Reformed Churches, 2 from the Heritage Reformed Churches, and 3 from the United Reformed Churches. So that's our Reformed emphasis in all that we do. We did a lot of relief work through COVID. Those countries that you see there all received relief. India was one of the hardest hit countries because they were actually confined to their homes for an extended period of time. The farmers could not harvest their crops, so a lot of it went to waste. So we ended up with a lot of relief work in Indonesia, $750,000 worth. We spent $1.2 million over the last year and a half to the 13 countries on 3 continents. The purpose of our collection tonight is for the Nigerian Reformed Church. Jan Peter Bond School Construction. This is Nigeria. It's on the west coast of Africa. In the middle, you see Abuja. That's the capital of Nigeria. And we work towards the south. This is the current president. They have a federal republic that's modeled after the U.S. The president may serve 2 4-year terms. There's a 109-seat Senate and a 360-seat House of Representatives. That all sounds really good, but there's a lot of vote rigging. There's a lot of corruption in Nigeria. There's 3 main people groups out of 250 ethnic groups in Nigeria. There's the Hausa Fulani, the Yoruba, and the Igbo tribes that make up most of the population, and the political system mirrors that. Zooming in a little bit, where the blue marker is, you will see when I went there 4 years ago, we fly to Abuja, from Abuja to Enugu, and then from Enugu to Izzi. We work with the Igbo peoples in Ebonyi State. It's located in the southern belt. Nigeria is made up of 3 belts. The northern belt is Muslim. The middle belt is a mixture of Muslim and Christian, and the southern belt is Christian. Most of the violence that you hear about, the Muslim violence, or what they often term as Fulani violence, is in the middle belt, although they have in the past come down as far as Ebonyi State and Cross River State. As a matter of fact, last year there was an incident there. Next slide. Rural Nigeria. It is very rural in Izzi. There is no electricity. There was a political campaign at one time where they promised that they would get electricity, and they put some poles in, so when you drive from Enugu, you can see poles for the first 10 miles or so. There's no wires on them. They've been there for 20 years. Small farms are common in this area, and they have their wet season and their dry season. Next slide. The construction of the new school, a 6-classroom block for Jan Peter Bond Secondary, was approved by the Word and Deed Board in March of last year. Jan Peter Bond was a missionary to the Nigerian Theological College as a teacher sent out by the Reformeerde Gemeente in Ermelo. He was killed when he was confronted by armed robbers that had broken into his home in Onyuyemi Mission Station, leaving behind his wife and 4 children. Next slide. About 10 years ago, Jan Peter Bond Secondary School started with 2 structures that were built by the community, and it's similar to that little hut that I showed just a few slides back. One was a 3-classroom building, and the other was a hall with a single classroom attachment. Last year, we approved the addition of a 6-classroom block, which would give them ample classroom space, plus room for a library and a lab. A few weeks ago, that building and a nearby well were completed, and the local dignitaries were invited over to visit. The officials were very pleased with the new building, but indicated that the old hall was not in sufficiently good condition and would need to be renovated before they could grant the school accreditation. The community started with repairing the roof and ceiling tiles when along came a major windstorm that blew the partly renovated building over. Because the government accreditation requirements are that they need to have a hall, a lab, and a library, they now need to build a new hall in order to get that accreditation. So they are proposing to use the same plans that we used for the 6-classroom block, with one of the interior walls removed, and that would become the hall. And then they'd have a couple of extra classrooms as well. One would become a staff room. I just received the updated cost for that. That's $65,000 US dollars. Our executive team has approved it, and it'll come to our projects committee meeting, which we hold on the first Thursday of every month. The next two pictures show the collapsed building. Next slide. You can see it a little better. You can see that that is not repairable. This is a picture of myself with Pastor Uday, Pastor Nicodemus Uday, and Paul Lamont from New Jersey. We went on a visit there 4 years ago. Pastor Uday was one of the very first converts from the work from the Cherif Mechimete, and he was converted under the teaching and preaching then. A number of years ago, he studied theology at Puritan Reformed Seminary in Grand Rapids. Next slide. There he is with his wife. She's a Dutch lady. And he has a degree and a Master of Divinity degree in theology. Next slide. This is a typical church. We went to this church on a Sunday. It's the NRC, Nigerian Reformed Church. Begun by the Netherlands Reformed Dutch missionaries in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and the work continues today, but it is now largely led by indigenous people. It provides education, next slide, to 175 students from rural villages in Ebonyi State. The school lacked sufficient space and was in very poor condition, and the six new classroom building is now complete. You can see the next slide where there's a groundbreaking ceremony. They're big on ceremony in Africa. Whenever there's something to be built or just finished, they're really big on ceremony. And it gives an opportunity for the pastor to give a message to the whole village. The next slide shows the brick walls and a concrete foundation being completed on its way, and then the next slide shows the building as completed. And as you can see how brown it is, that's the dry season. It gets very warm in those parts, so that's why the high ceilings. Now these desks in the next slide are not probably what our children are accustomed to, but they do work. So that's it for Yanban School. That's what your donations will be for tonight. So after I'm done this presentation, then there will be a collection while we sing. So if you would be so kind as to write your checks to Word and Deed Ministries, then there's some people who will be going around and collecting those for you. The Coast to Coast Bike-a-thon that we held last year, some of you may have participated. It is slated to be held in June this year. If you want to join, you can join at our website. And then on the week of June 13th, we will be holding our annual Chilliwack Business Group meetings. So if any one of you are interested in coming to the business group and having a look at what we do there, we support specific projects for Word and Deed. Just come and let me know, and we'll let you know exactly when that date is, when it is set. But it's the week of June 13th. There's our website address, Instagram, Facebook. You can stay informed and connected through those. Take a look at our new website. It's actually brand new last month, so it has a new look. It's also compatible with your phone. So thank you very much for your time and your generosity. Please do pray for Word and Deed, the people, the programs, and the projects that we are involved with as instruments to bring the gospel to people around the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you. When you have an evening like this, you don't want it to be over. You like to continue to hear the songs of praise to God. God's people have always been a singing people. I was reminded of that when we were reflecting on that this afternoon with my wife, and we were thinking about when Israel went through the Red Sea. Remember, the Egyptians' children were pursuing the Israelites, and they were in great danger. Of course, then the Lord divided the sea, and then we read after they were delivered and the Egyptians were drowned in the sea, that then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. But there's a problem, because by the end of this chapter, we read that the Israelites were again back to their old ways. We read that at the end of this chapter that they went 3 days into the wilderness and they found no water. And they were complaining against Moses and against the Lord. And you remember how the Lord then delivered them, how he provided water for them so that they could wander in the wilderness. And in a certain sense, we have received water from the Lord tonight. The Lord has provided us with refreshment and nourishment in a dry and thirsty land, hasn't he? He's given us these voices which have sung for us, and we're thankful to them for those voices, but we're also thankful for the message they could convey to us. And every time there is a reflection upon the salvation work of the Lord, there often is singing, isn't there? You remember at the end of Luke chapter 2, we find the same thing, that the angels did sing, didn't they? It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, or you could say singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But then what happens? Then we know that Herod tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was again pain and suffering and sorrow, wasn't there? And it makes us realize that while we're given times of refreshment and renewal through the gospel, through that redemption, that ultimately, as we have heard tonight, our hope is in the Lord, isn't it? Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way in which we can experience everlasting joy and sing to the praise of his name. And that brings me to Revelation chapter 21, which of course is at the end of all things. And it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, or singing, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. When we leave here, we will go to our homes, we'll go to our families, we'll go to our work tomorrow perhaps, we'll go back to the struggles of life, and we'll experience some of the pain and sorrows of this life. But when we're in Christ, we're reminded that this is the future hope and future glory of the people of God. And we're thankful to the choir and to the director and to the musicians who have presented tonight, because they have given us a glimpse of that eternal joy which is to come in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Most merciful and gracious God and Father, we come into your holy presence in this evening hour, and we're thankful for that glorious redemption that you have provided in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, this is our only hope in this broken, fallen, sinful world. The only hope we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ, he of whom we have heard this night, who has suffered and died upon the cross at Calvary, as we have recently remembered, but rose again on the third day, and is now ascended into heaven, and is seated even at your right hand. And he shall come again in glory, and then the new heavens and the new earth shall be, and we shall be in your presence. All who believe shall experience everlasting joy, in which we shall sing to the praises of your name forevermore. Lord, we pray that this night might have been a foretaste of that which is to come in glory, that we be reminded, O Lord, regularly and often, of our need for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, because we know that it's only through him that we can experience and know that everlasting joy and salvation which comes through Jesus Christ our Savior, in whose blessed name we pray. Amen.